Morning, Cornerstone Church. My name is Pastor Jeremy, and I'd like to point out a few of my favorite things happening starting this fall after Labor Day. First thing is small groups will be starting up, so if you're not in a small group, make sure to sign your name on the information sheet in the foyer on your way out, and we'll contact you with information about small groups, when potential small groups for you would meet, and where they would be. So make sure to sign up on your way out in the foyer. Also starting up is a Cornerstone Youth Group, and we have the schedule out on the youth table as well in the foyer. Make sure if you've got a middle school or high school student or know of a friend who would like to come, make sure to grab one of those schedules for them as well. And another really exciting thing starting this fall is our sermon series called Does Your Life Need a Change? And last night we had almost 20 volunteers working for 2 hours to stuff envelopes with these postcards and little baby infant diapers. And those mailers are going to go out to the community. And we're hoping that they catch the eye of people who need Jesus, people who need to come back to church. And so be praying for these mailers. Be praying that they'd reach someone who needs to receive an invite for church. And that sermon series is going to be starting on September 15th, and we're going to be talking about how Jesus changes our life and how the body of Christ will change our life. So I'd like to invite you to that sermon series. And I grew up in church. But there was certainly one time recently where I went to church and I felt like I'd never been there before. I felt like it was my first time because I didn't really know how to act. We went down to my family and I went down to the Basilica down in Minneapolis. And it's this beautiful big Catholic cathedral, and it looks really old, hundreds of years old. And we went to a Good Friday service, and it was very somber. And we walk in, it was just dead silent. You could hear a pin drop. And it was the first time I'd ever been to a service like that, and it was all dark and quiet. You could feel that the congregation had a great reverence for God. And we're walking into the service, and it's just dead silent and somber and serious as people contemplated Good Friday and contemplated the crucifixion. And Sarah and I are sitting there and with our family in dead silence. And I looked over at her, and for no reason whatsoever, and through nothing I was trying to do, I didn't want to do this, but I looked over at her and I went and I just started giggling, and Sarah looked back at me and she started giggling, and the more we looked at each other, the more we giggled, and pretty soon we were just desperately trying to shush ourselves and hold it in, and I didn't know what to do. It was starting to get really awkward. People were starting to turn around and people could hear us giggling. I was embarrassed and ashamed. I didn't want to be giggling, but I couldn't stop. And so what we did is we pulled down the kneeler. We quick got down on the kneeler in front of us and put our head in our hands because I didn't know what else to do. My mom is sitting next to us, and she looks over, and she sees us on the kneelers with our head in our hands, kind of shaking a little bit. She says, "Wow, Jeremy and Sarah must really be getting into this service." And we're down there desperately trying to shush ourselves before we get kicked out of this service. Well, welcome to our sermon series called Shush. And we're calling a sermon series Shush because there's been a push from the world, the people of faith, for quite some time, for people of faith to keep their faith private. The world wants you and I to keep our faith private. And so we get shushed. And so this sermon series is about what happens when we get shushed and how to respond. And the world wants us to do out in public what Sarah and I were doing in that Catholic church with our faith. The world wants us not to speak up and not to talk about Jesus Christ. The world wants us to keep our faith private. And once we've started living for Christ privately, we've stopped living for Christ. And so the Christian needs to know how to respond to the shush. And one of the biggest ways that we get shushed in society happens before anybody says anything at all. We shush ourselves. It's one of the biggest ways Christians get shushed in society is we shush ourselves by doubting if God is really going to work through us. If God's really going to work through our words and our actions. Is God really calling me to speak up? Is he really wanting me to say something? And so we doubt that and we shush ourselves before we begin. And I know the feeling. It happens all the time. You'll be at work and a coworker will speak up and say, "I feel like I have no meaning or purpose in life." And you want to say something. You feel a call to say, "Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you been to church? Faith is a foundation of my life, and in Jesus Christ I find meaning and hope and purpose and joy. Would you like to come to church with me?" But before you say anything, you think, "Who am I? Who am I that this person is going to listen to me? Is God really going to work through my words and my actions?" And so we shush ourselves. Or maybe you're at a wedding and you can tell that your relatives Marriage is falling apart. Your cousin is drinking heavily and his wife hasn't been within 50 yards of him the whole reception. And you want to go up and you want to say, are you and your wife in a small group? Are you guys going to church? It's through the support of our church and our small group that my wife and I have made it through many tough times. And you want to speak up, you want to say something, but then you think, who am I? Who am I to say something like that to them? And is God really going to work through my words and my actions? Do you shush yourself because you doubt that speaking up will make a difference? And shushing ourselves is not something new. God's followers have been shushing themselves for a long, long time. We're going to open up to Exodus chapter 3. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Exodus chapter 3 with me. If not, I'll have the words up on the screen for you. Shushing ourselves is not something new, and we're going to read a story today of someone who was tempted to shush themselves but didn't and found God faithful. And while you're turning with me to Exodus chapter 3, we'll give a little background on the scripture we'll be reading today. We'll start at the very beginning. We'll start in Genesis. And what happens at the beginning of Genesis is God creates the world, and he creates it totally good. There's no pain or suffering or evil. And he creates the first two human beings to enjoy this paradise. He creates Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve reject God, and they rebel against his commandments. And through their choices, through their sin, suffering and death and pain enter the world. And once suffering and pain and death and sin enter, human beings keep making those choices, bringing more suffering and pain and death into the world. And more as we go along, and things get worse and worse and worse until we reach Genesis chapter 12, where God steps in to intervene. God regrets making his creation because things have gotten so bad, and he steps in to intervene. And his plan is to take this guy named Abraham, who was faithful. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. You'll have many children, and you'll become a great nation. And God says he's going to make Abraham a great nation so that the world may be blessed through them, because he's going to teach the nation of Israel, Abraham's descendants. He's going to teach them about who he is. And so God steps down. He calls Abraham. And Abraham starts having all of these children. And God is faithful to his plan. And Abraham has more and more children. And God is planning on revealing himself to the nation of Israel, these children, so that they in turn can teach the world. And the nation of Israel grows and they multiply and they multiply. And at some point, they get enslaved in Egypt by the most powerful nation on earth, the Egyptians, with the most powerful ruler, Pharaoh. And God's people, who he's planning on revealing himself, even in slavery, they grow and grow and grow and multiply and multiply. And now when we get to Exodus chapter 3, it's time for God to step in. It's time for God to step in and free this people from slavery and make of them a great nation so he can make a great name for himself. And so God steps down. And he speaks to this guy named Moses. And he's planning on using Moses to send to Pharaoh, the most powerful ruler of the most powerful nation on earth. He's planning on sending Moses to Pharaoh and freeing Israel from the Egyptian rule. A little background on Moses. As we get to Exodus chapter 3, we find out that Moses is an ex-murderer. He's on the run. And he's hiding. And he's tending sheep. He's a shepherd. This is what he's currently doing. Do you know what shepherds spend most of their time doing? They spend most of their time stepping in sheep poop. It's not a glamorous job. And here we have this ex-murderer who is currently standing in sheep poop. And God is going to call him to go to the most powerful ruler on earth of the most powerful nation so that God can make a name for himself and free this people. And so as we begin chapter 3, Moses is face to face with the divine. He's faced with a miraculously burning bush that's not consumed, and out of this bush comes the very voice of God. And we'll begin reading in verse 7. Verse 7 says, Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land. Go down to verse 10 with me. And he says to Moses, Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And so the first thing we learn from this passage today is that God works through the words and actions of people. And God is planning on doing this amazing thing of freeing an insignificant slave people from the most powerful nation on earth. And God plans on using Moses. God says, I've heard the sufferings of my people, and Moses, I'm going to send you. Verse 10 says, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And God still works through the words and actions of people today, and he wants to work through you and Cornerstone Church of Blaine. In the Blaine area, God wants to work through our actions because he has a plan. And Cornerstone Church is no coincidence. It's no coincidence that we're here today. It's no coincidence that Pastor Ron, who founded this church, was able to gather the supporters to begin Cornerstone Church of Blaine. God had a plan, and he was faithful to that plan. And it's no coincidence that we're meeting here today in the Blaine High School. God wants to use us here in this community to work through our words and actions. God had a plan, and he's faithful to that plan. And it's no coincidence that you and I are here today as well. God wants to work through you and through Cornerstone Church of Blaine to change his community. And God has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan. And God is still interested in freeing his people from suffering. 3,500 years ago, God sent Moses to the most powerful ruler of the most powerful nation on earth to deliver the people of Israel from suffering. And what God ends up teaching to the people of Israel as we read through the Old Testament, the reason why God freed Israel, the reason why God is speaking to them to reveal himself to them, is to tell them that he's going to send his son Jesus to pay for the sins of humanity. Because God has an interest in freeing people from suffering. And he wants to free people from the suffering that comes, the punishment that is due us for our sins. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he freed Israel. And 2,000 years ago, God was faithful to that plan. And he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And 2,000 years later, God still has a plan. And he's still faithful to that plan. And he wants to use the words and actions of Cornerstone Church of Blaine. And he wants to use your words and actions to change this community, to be the light of Christ to other people, that they may know the freedom that comes from faith in Jesus Christ and the peace and joy and salvation that comes from faith in Jesus. God has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan, and he wants to work through us. And it's no coincidence that God has given us this vision to accomplish the mission. The vision of Cornerstone Church of Blaine is to go to the unchurched and develop relationships, to invite people to a contemporary evangelical service, and to promote spiritual growth primarily through small groups. It's no coincidence that we're here today. It's no coincidence that we're here in the Blaine High School. And it's no coincidence that God has given us this vision. God has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan. And as we continue reading, in verse 12 up there? It's far away. Verse 11, actually. Verse 11 says, but Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses is standing there saying, I'm on the run. I'm an ex-murderer. I've got sheep poop currently drying on my sandals. And you want to send me to the Pharaoh, the most powerful ruler of the most powerful nation on earth. Are you kidding me? Is this your plan? Is this what you're going to do? Who am I that I can do this? Who am I that you're going to work through my words and my actions? And God says in verse 12, the Lord replies and he says, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought this people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So God replies to Moses, he says, I will be with you. It's going to happen, Moses, and you'll know it's going to happen because in a short time you'll bring this people out and you will all be worshiping me on this mountain. He gives him a sign for the future. And when that future event happens, Moses will know that all of this was God's plan and God working. As we continue reading, in verse 13 it says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. And so Moses rightly has the correct view of himself and his humility. Who am I that I'm going to do this? Who am I that I'm going to lead the people of Israel out of slavery? And God gives him a little perspective. We're not relying on you, Mr. Who I Am. We're relying on me, the great I am. And that's enough. And it's going to happen. And so he says, Moses, trust in me, this is going to happen. You'll be worshiping back on this mountain in not a long time. And thankfully, God has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan. And it's really not so much about you and me. It's about the God who has called us, the God who has sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world, the God who has sent his church out into the world to be the light of Christ. It's not about who I am. It's about who God is. As we keep reading in verse 15, the God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. And so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and so you shall plunder the Egyptians. And God has a plan for Israel. And he's sending Moses to the people of Israel to say, hey, Israel, we're going to go to the Pharaoh. We're going to ask for our freedom. And not only are we going to receive our freedom, we're going to walk out with a bunch of the Egyptian stuff. God says the women who live in the homes of the Egyptians will ask them for gold and silver, and they'll give it to them. So not only will this insignificant slave nation led by an ex-murderer shepherd gain their freedom from the most powerful nation on earth, with the most powerful ruler on earth, but you're going to leave not only with your freedom, but a bunch of their stuff. And Moses is probably like, having trouble believing this. How is this nation going to believe me? I just killed a guy in the last chapter, if you read the story. I'm just a shepherd. How is this going to happen? And so it wouldn't have been easy. And I can imagine, you know, I can understand his trepidation. I can imagine it wouldn't be easy for this nation who's been enslaved for so long, who's been conditioned to be hopeless and helpless. They've never had their freedom. These people have been born in slavery. They've lived in slavery. They've been beaten down on purpose so that they'd have no hope. And I can imagine it would be easy for them to trust this ex-murderer who's just come with his sheep that this is going to happen. And so Moses in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they'll say, the Lord did not appear to you. Who am I? The Lord gives Moses these miraculous signs in the next few verses. He has Moses throw a staff on the ground and it turns into a snake. And then Moses grabs the snake and it turns back into a staff. And God says, use this sign and then they'll know that I sent you. And he says, use this sign, put your hand in your robe and pull it back out. And he does, and it becomes leprous with the disease leprosy. And thankfully that snake thing turned out all right. And so Moses puts his hand back into his robe as the Lord tells him to, and he pulls it back out and his hand is healed. And God says, use that sign to let them know that I sent you. And God says, if they don't believe those signs, then take some water out of the river of the Nile and pour it on the ground. It'll turn his blood, and then they'll know that I sent you. And God hears Moses and is complaining. But he has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan. He keeps proving that over and over as Moses questions him again and again. God says, this will happen. I promise I will be with you. And they will listen to your voice. In verse 10, Moses is still doubting. He's still shushing himself, doubting if God is really going to work through his words and his actions. And Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And Moses is still asking, who am I? Who am I that God's going to work through me and my actions? Is God really going to do this through me? He's still doubting. He's still shushing. And the Lord responds to him, Moses, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. And Moses has a tough time believing all this. He says, God, I'm not a good speaker. Why are you sending me? And God says, Moses, it's no coincidence that you've got that mouth. It's not an accident that you've got this tongue which works in conjunction with your vocal cords and your lungs as it passes air back and forth. That's not an accident. It wasn't random. I made that mouth. And I know what it can do. And so he says, get to it. Get out there and go. And we might have a hard time, like Moses, believing in God's plan. Moses had a hard time believing God's really going to do this through him. And we can have a hard time believing that God is really going to accomplish his plan through us. Especially in a world which is so afraid of faith, which is so offended by faith, that they're building all of these walls to keep faith out, to protect themselves, to make faith private. We may have trouble believing that God is going to accomplish his plan through us in that type of world, with the walls that are keeping faith private, but we'll see those walls be broken down when they encounter the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Like Moses, we may be doubting what God is calling us to do, but it's no coincidence that we're here. It's not an accident that you and I are here at Cornerstone Church of Blaine. God has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan. And our vision is to go to the unchurched and develop relationships, to invite them back to a service, and to promote spiritual growth through small groups. It's no accident that we're here, but it's going to require us to do something, just like Moses. It's going to require people who are unafraid to shush in public, who are unafraid to speak up about Jesus Christ, people who love other people and want to go to them to develop relationships with them. It's going to require brave people to invite them back, to talk about Jesus to them, and invite them back to a contemporary service. It's going to require a contemporary worship service where God is praised and the gospel is preached. And that's going to take people to bring the trailer of equipment, people to set it up, people to set up the nursery. It's going to take people to preach the gospel to our children. It's going to take sound engineers and singers and people to preach the gospel and people to volunteer in the nursery with the children, the little kids and the infants, so that we can concentrate while the gospel is preached. It's going to take others who are willing to open up their homes to new people, to people who want to join small groups, leaders who are willing to open up their homes and their lives, who are going to learn about the gospel so that they too can teach it, and congregation members who are willing to invest in a small group and other people. It's no coincidence that God has placed us here to do this vision and mission. God has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan, and he has made us to do this. And so just like Moses, we need to get out and do it. Just like God gave Moses his mouth, God has given Cornerstone Church of Blaine, you and I and the people next to you. And he's made us to do this. In verse 13, Moses says, oh my Lord, please send someone else. After all of that, he's still shushing, he's still doubting. But Moses doesn't stop there. Moses goes forward. Moses follows God's plan. And this begins an amazing journey where God shows his power. And it's not about Moses, it's about the great I Am. And God frees this insignificant slave people from the most powerful nation on earth. And he teaches them about himself, who he is, and what he wants. And he teaches them that he's going to be sending his son Jesus to pay for their sins, to free the people from the punishment and consequences that come from our sin. And God has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan. And 2,000 years later, after God sent his son, 3,500 years after God sent Moses to Pharaoh, God is sending you and I. And what is God calling you to do? Is God calling you to develop a relationship with someone who doesn't know him in your life?
And are you shushing yourself? Are you saying, God, please send someone else. I don't like making new friends. Are you trusting in God that he's made you to do this? And are you stepping out and making those relationships? Are you feeling God calling you to help out with our Sunday service? And are you shushing yourself? Are you saying, God, I don't like getting up 2 hours early? Or are you realizing that you're made to do this? And God is calling you to do this, and he will be there with you. Are you feeling called to lead a small group? And are you shushing yourself? Would you rather just be in a small group, be a side player, sit there and be fed? Or are you trusting in God that you can step out and lead, that you can learn the gospel and teach it to others? Is God calling you to serve with our children? And are you shushing yourself? Are you saying, God, I don't like taking the energy that it takes to have fun and teach the kids? Are you trusting in God? Are you trusting that he'll be faithful to his plan? In our bulletins this week, we've got a lot of different ways to serve. One of the most exciting things that's happening here at Cornerstone Church is attendance is going up steadily. And that shows that people are connecting with each other and they're connecting with God, and that's awesome. And that means we're going to need more volunteers. And it's going to keep happening, and we're going to need more volunteers. And we're going to need more people to step up and answer God's call. And so take that sheet out sometime today and pray over it and ask God, what do you want me to do, God? What part of the vision do you want me to participate in? Do you want me to be spending my time making relationships with those who need to know you? Do you want me to be spending my time volunteering for the Sunday service? Do you want me to be spending my time volunteering for small groups and opening up my home? Do you doubt God wants to work through you? Are you going to be faithful to God's cause? He's been faithful to us. God has made us to do this. God used Moses to speak to Pharaoh to free the slave people from the most mighty nation on earth. And God is going to use us, you and I, in Cornerstone Church of Blaine, to change this community. Moses almost missed out on this journey because he kept shushing himself. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak to him, put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both with a lot of mouths, and he shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be God to him. God gives us other people. He's given us each other. We're not in this alone. There's no coincidence that the people sitting around you are the people sitting around you. And we're a team here to accomplish God's vision and mission in Blaine. Don't miss out on this journey. Pray about this today and ask how God would like you and use you to accomplish the vision of this church and God's plan. Let's pray. Oh, wait. One more sermon note. Psych. All the type A personalities were like, where's the last note? God is faithful to do what he wants to do. Are we being faithful as well? Let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the ways that you've confirmed that you're working in this church through difficult times, sustaining us, Lord, giving us hope for the future, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which has been with us the whole time. God, we thank you for the vision that you've given us and the people that you've brought who care about others, who work so hard every Sunday to set up, who open up their homes to small groups. God, we thank you for all the volunteers. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and talk to us about how you'd like us to accomplish the vision, about where we fit into this puzzle. God, we thank you for having a plan and being faithful to that plan. And Lord, we thank you for the plan that you had for us when you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the forgiveness and peace and hope and joy and salvation that we find in Jesus and in nowhere else. And God, we pray that you bless us, that we can shine the light of Jesus Christ to this community, that we can go to the unchurched and tell them about the Lord and not shush, that you'd bless us with volunteers that we can put together this Sunday service of worship and praise and preaching the gospel. God, we pray that you would give us the courage and strength to learn the gospel so that we can teach it to others and open up our homes and lead a small group. Lord, we pray for this and that you'd speak to us. And we also pray that you'd bless the gifts that we're about to receive.
We pray all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. At this time, we'd like the ushers to come forward, and we're going to collect our offering. If you're a visitor here, we ask that you don't put any money in the basket as it passes, but we do ask that you fill out your communication card, and you can hand that to in the basket as it passes. And if you're a first-time visitor and you put your card in the basket, please meet me out in the foyer after the service. We've got a little welcome gift bag for you. And after the bags pass, you can stand and join us in worship.